The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord. There's been a lot in the news recently. On Friday morning, two documents that were given to the church, one to the church and one to the bishops of the church, from Pope Francis. And my first impulse was not to talk about it, but I think it's something we can't not talk about. To be silent with regard to it would only be more confusing. So after the example of Jesus in the gospel today, I feel like part of the crowd who are disoriented and confused, but I also feel like one who needs to use their voice to teach. On Friday, Pope Francis issued a motu proprio, a disciplinary decree, returning to restricting the use of the pre-Vatican II 1962 Missal, the so-called traditional Latin Mass, in an effort to unite our church through the way we pray. Bishop Burbidge has asked us not to explain this memo or to get into any details until he has issued his public statement. These documents are all online anyway, but I thought I might give a little historical background to the discussion which will begin this week. The Tridentine Mass is the Mass promulgated by Pope Pius V in 1570 after two bitter generations of division from the Luther Reformation. Father John O'Malley, a Jesuit priest and one of the leading theologians on the Council of Trent and the Councils of Vatican I and II, says it was only indirectly related to the Council of Trent, though it is called Tridentine. It was promulgated by Pius V, who was pope after the council, who never even attended the council. Corruption in the Roman Church was exposed, and the church sought reform herself with new disciplines and order, including liturgy. The purpose of his promulgation was so that all the churches who were celebrating the Latin Rite in the Western Church would be united in prayer using the same missal or prayer book. This was the first time this had ever been done. Pius V revised and ordered the Rite of Rome and ordered it to be adopted by the entire Western Church. Religious orders who had their own rites over 200 years old were not required to change their liturgical practices. At the time of Martin Luther's Reformation in 1517, people didn't participate in the Mass at all. The people had nothing to say or sing. All the responses to the priest were done by the server or the choir. Some of the prayers made it appear or were explained in a way that said the people did not participate in any way in the Eucharistic prayer. This prayer was always said by the priest secretly. Martin Luther was an Augustinian priest who loved the Mass and believed that there should be an emphasis on the participation of lay people, emphasis on scripture and a homily, that Eucharist should be restored to be received under both forms of bread and wine, and that the Mass should be in the language of the people so they could understand what was happening and authentically join in the prayers. There were other reforms as well. The 1570 Mass was a reform which positively sought to correct errors of the times, but also sought to define Catholic worship so that there would be a greater unity in the church, but also be clearly distinguished from the Mass Martin Luther had reformed. The Council of Trent had maybe 200 bishops present at its peak, practically all of them from Italy, Spain, and Portugal, countries little affected by the Reformation. The Reformation had ignited four practical or pastoral controversies about which the council was reticent. These were clerical celibacy, the veneration of images, the communion cup for the laity, and the vernacular language. 20 bishops from France who arrived toward the end of the council, as well as lay envoys to the council from the Holy Roman Emperor and the Duke of Bavaria, ardently argued for a change on celibacy, the cup, and the vernacular language. Suddenly, language became the test of your allegiance, and the council never said that the vernacular was wrong. It only said that the Mass can be rightly and properly continue to be celebrated in Latin. But they didn't want people to be confused. If it wasn't in Latin, it wasn't Catholic. Many people today think of this 1570 Mass as some kind of unchanging ancient Mass that has been taken away from them. This 1570 Mass underwent revisions up until its final version in 1962 and was done away with in 1963 by St. Pope Pius VI and the Second Vatican Council, and was finally replaced by a new missal, which was published in 1970. The Council itself and the liturgical renewal of the Reformed Mass, which we celebrate here at St. Bernadette, came at another difficult time in the life of the Church and the world. It was a time of suspicion, the Cold War, the Cuban Missile Crisis, communism on our doorstep, sweeping social and moral change, cultural upheaval, and many conspiracy theories, including the theory that the Pope would take over the country if there was a Catholic president. Is it possible that the suspicion of Vatican II was only an extension, as added to the changes with everything else that was going on? The 60s was a decade where the world took many steps forward, but also many steps backward. In 1963, the bishops and St. Paul VI at Vatican II approved a plan for renewing the liturgy. At the top of the agenda was making that Mass express the reality of people's full, active, conscious participation. Also part of the plan were the very items proposed at the Council of Trent, but judged to be not appropriate at this time. An emphasis on the priesthood of the faithful, the people of God, the importance of lay people in the Church, the centrality of Scripture in the life of the Church and in her prayer, an explanation of how the Church is still vital and relevant in the modern world, and the same hot buttons, vernacular language and use of the cup for Holy Communion. A new Roman Missal was produced according to the plan proposed by the Council. It was approved by Paul VI and published in 1970. And like the Roman Missal of 1570, the new Missal was required for use by the entire Catholic Church that had a history of using Latin. The Missal of 1970 has been revised several times, most recently, you might recall, in 2008. My childhood memories of the Church before Vatican II are very, very clear. We had hand missals, and if you remember the little hand missals that had the English on one side and the Latin on the other, these hand missals themselves were considered liberal innovations at the time, and trying to keep up, we prayed our holy cards from the funerals of all the great aunts and uncles who seemed to be dying regularly when I was young. In our parish church, there was no choir singing a glorious Mozart Mass. Maybe a holy God at the end. The priest, for the few parts of the Mass which were prayed at a level you could hear, went so fast you could never keep up in your book. Even the Our Father was prayed in secret by the priest, at a level that the people could not hear. That's why we used to call going to Mass hearing Mass, not praying or celebrating. Early childhood memories become more clouded over the years, but I remember one of the first Masses in English in my parish was the Mass when I received First Holy Communion. I remember my amazement at what the words meant. I remember the feeling of connection. And I remember at the end of the consecration prayer, my brother Bob, who would have been only about 3 or 4 years old, shouted, "Amen." Looking back now, I think it is a wonder and a blessing that the Mass can touch a 3- and a 7-year-old. Father John O'Malley says it takes 100 years for a council to be received. We're almost at 60. We have come a long, long way since then, and will go forward needing to pray along the path together. I have come to understand over the years that sacraments are windows to the eternal moment when Christ is forgiving, is healing, is uniting, is giving us his body and blood, is offering himself to the Father. The Holy Spirit is being poured out on all the cosmos. In thanksgiving, by actively recalling his saving action in the Mass, we aren't making Jesus present to us, which was Martin Luther's objection. He said, we don't offer Jesus to the Father and crucify Jesus over and over. Of course, this was a misunderstanding. He offers himself, and we are united with him in our self-offering communion. We don't make him present, but we make ourselves present to him. I've never read this anywhere, so all of this could be wrong. In making ourselves present to him by offering ourselves with the bread and the wine, the one thing that we can do with our free will is to give or not give ourselves. We are caught up in and united to the offering of Christ to the Father, which is for all time and all places, once in time, but also one act extending always. Full, active, and conscious, unity and communion.